Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayton Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to the Brayton Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, X, Instagram, and TikTok. And subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. Now, let's get into the show.
I just downloaded that app, the trolley. What's it called? Pronto or something like that?
Yep, it is.
So I'm going to take the trolley down to the game.
Good.
I haven't done that in a long time. The last time I have an extra $2.50. I don't even know what the trolley cost. What's the trolley even cost?
$2.50.
I got $2.50 on here. Sick.
There you go.
It's already paid for. When do these expire? Do we know?
Already ahead. I don't think they do. I think you can load that up and it'll go.
So fine. I had to do this. In the CIF championship game, I went down there with, you know, the team, obviously. And then, we lost our season. We weren't going to go to state. And my buddies came to support my friends, including my friend that's a Saints guy. He was like, I'm not wearing any red. I'm like, fine. I don't, whatever. Just come for the support. So I had a nice little contingent of Coach Suprenant fans. That were there for me, showing the support, which I loved. I really appreciated it. I mean, because it's, you know, to get like a bunch of like 20-something-year-olds to go, late 20-year-olds, early 30-year-olds to go to pay money to go to a high school game is like pulling teeth, dude. They're like, why would I go to that? Are they serving booze there? No, probably not. It's a high school game. Oh, why am I even going then? I don't know. Support your friend. So I guilted them into coming. And then after the game, it was like, you know, I'm saying goodbye to a lot of the seniors and everything like that. But at the same time, I was like, I'm exhausted at the end of football seasons because it starts like in the spring and it goes through all of summer. Like we have a passing league tournament tomorrow at Mount Carmel. And then you get through the whole season. And by the time your season finishes, like December, I'm wiped out. Like you're not, even though you're getting sleep in between, your body just goes like deflates. Like it's a long time. The next day of sleep after the season ends, and I remember this from when I was doing video stuff for TCU football, it's just so different. You're traveling, you're going all over the place. Like, high school's a lot different. This year, we take 2 plane trips for Cathedral. We're going to the Bay Area twice, playing De La Salle and St. Francis. We play St. Francis week, too. I mean, we're going to jump on a plane second week of the season. And then do it again in the first weekend of October. But they were like, hey, like, let's go get a drink or whatever like that. I was like, I'm going to go blow off steam. Like, I'm not going to sit in the locker room with a bunch of guys upset about the season being over and everything like that. So I was going to meet up with them. So I was like, oh, I'll get a ride. And they're like, well, we took the trolley. My friend Sam, he lives next to a trolley station, you know, in Mission Valley. So they went to his house, parked, and then jumped on the trolley. So I had to like, buy a trolley ticket. And I'm like, how do you do that? I've not ridden the trolley in forever. Again, I live in North County. I live in, you know, kind of North County, North City. So, like, the trolley doesn't go up there. It goes up to UTC now, but there's no spot for me to use the trolley. I'm like, how much does it cost? How do you do this? So, we got to download this app. So, I downloaded the app. And, like, I'm trying to do it in the San Diego State locker room because it's at Snapdragon. I got, like, no service. I'm trying to punch this in as, you know, post-game speech and all that other stuff, trying to pack up all the stuff. I'm like, well, how do I need to get out of here? So I finally get it all done. And then the other day, I was like, I got to delete this app. When am I going to ever use this again? And then, of course, today, I'm meeting my friend Sam, and I'm going to meet at his house. I'm going to take the trolley into the game. So I had to get this app done. That actually was really fast. The first time I signed up for it, it took like 45 minutes to like identify everything. So now I got it. It's $250 to ride the trolley?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's $250. I think it's a two-hour pass, so you can use that anywhere for as long as you want for 2 hours.
Cool. I mean, I'm sure I'll have to like reload it here for the ride back.
Yeah, I think it's a minimum $5 reload, I think.
Oh, that makes sense. That's why. No wonder I have the $250 left. How do you say that? Would you just wait for somebody to come by on the train, like in Europe?
No, you have to scan it at the platform. Yeah.
Figured much. Anyway, so I'll be doing that tonight. I'm going down to Padres Royals, which will start at 6:40, 5:40. EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt live from the loft. Gwen and Chris will be on after me here in about 55 minutes or so as we kind of transition from Padres Dodgers into Padres Royals. And we're going to have Drake Hills on later on at 1:35, give us a soccer update of the week after San Diego FC took on Minnesota last week. They will be playing Vancouver this week, next week on next Wednesday. They're off on Saturday, correct?
Yes, next Wednesday. Club World Cup's been going on, though.
The Club World Cup?
Yep. First installment of the Club World Cup.
And then you had the Gold Cup going on too, isn't it?
Yes.
USA won? They beat Saudi Arabia 1-0?
I believe so.
I know a lot of people are just barking about USA soccer, so Drake can fill us in on USA soccer. But I want to talk about, let's talk about some of the on-the-field things for the Padres. There's a lot of things in on our rundown today we didn't get to. We didn't get to MLB's 14 prime trade candidates and fits. We'll get to that next week. We didn't get into the Jim Bowden trade, in which he says that the Chicago White Sox and his proposed trade send Luis Robert to the Padres for Cash Mayfield, Kaveris Tiers, and Cobb Hightower. We'll talk about that next week. Again, proposed. People are tuning in at different times. I want to catch the part where I just say like, oh, Chicago sends Luis Robert Jr. to the Padres. But last night, I do want to get to what we were going to talk about in the 11 o'clock hour. And our 11 o'clock hour was brought to you by Amazon. You've got some good news. I've got some great news. Good news is that Prime Day is almost here. The great news, this year you'll have 4 days to find deals on all of your favorite things. Shop Prime Day July 8th through the 11th. Let's talk about it. Xander Bogaerts and Jake Cronenworth had good nights and was last night what the doctor ordered. Last night, I think overall, and let's talk about Xander and Cronenworth first. Xander 4-for-4, double, a home run, had a couple of singles and an RBI, had 3 runs scored. He looked so much more comfortable at the plate this time than any other time we have seen out of Xander Bogaerts. And that's capping off of the home run the double that he hit the night before. And you saw everybody's reaction to that quote that he had in the paper. And we didn't dive into this because we were off yesterday. I couldn't believe some of the vile things some people were saying about Xander Bogaerts, despite him opening up about basically saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, that even when I finally get a good thing to happen, it's short-lived because of the outcome that was in the last inning. You feel for Xander. I mean, I really do. That's why I defend him all the time. Because you know it bothers him. A lot of people don't believe that. And I will sit there and continue to tell you, when I go down to the clubhouse, and when I see this guy put the work in, and when I see his attitude, and we see the way he answers questions, it's not like he is a pompous ass that's here collecting money and doesn't care. It's not him. That's why I defend him. You can't defend his play sometimes, and his contract's not very good, but at the same time, like, and Gwynn and Chris said it. Like, Gwynn and Chris said it the other day when I was driving home. They said everything that Frank and I have said for the last 2 months. I don't know how many people fired back at them. I mean, but we get DMs all the time just like, bleh, like we are Xander Bogaerts. But just yelling about the problem and just continually yelling about the problem is not going to make the problem go away. You have to find solutions. And the reason why nobody has given a lot of solutions is because there are no solutions. The solution is he has to just flat out play better. Because he's still better than your alternative options. He's better than Jose Iglesias on a daily basis. He's better than Tyler Wade on a daily basis. He is a better option on the team than he is if you DFA him and he gets paid league minimum to play somewhere else, or if you try to trade him and eat a bunch of money, you're not going to go get somebody else. And Chris Ello said it best. He said, 29 other teams in baseball are not trying to actively make the Padres better. They're not going to go bail you out and be like, oh, I'm just going to take all of Xander Bogaerts' contract because that's what the Giants did. No, dude, it's different. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. So that's why we defend the guy all the time. Now, I will say this. Again, we don't have updates on Fernando. We don't have updates on Johnson. We don't have updates on suspensions. That usually all comes down when they open up the clubhouse at 3:15. Last night, Xander Bogaerts 4-for-4, coming off of what was finally a clutch hit for Xander Bogaerts this season. You can see him feeling a little bit more comfortable at the plate. It's only a game and not even a half. He needs to now put this together multiple times. And Padres fans, you're going to need him to do that if you want to be where the Padres need to be in October. They pumped all the money in the core six to carry the team. And if they're not performing, you're not going to play very well. You're not going to win a lot of games. Again, I have said this ad nauseum. Gwynn and Chris picked it up 2 days ago, said the exact same thing. You might as well just root for the guy and hope he figures everything out. He looks way better. And again, I've talked about the way the metrics show that it's not an aging thing with him. In fact, I talked about it so early on that people didn't even know what I was talking about. And now all of a sudden, on social media, it's like, hey, look, I found this website called Baseball Savant. You ever heard of this website? Yeah. He's up in exit velo. He's up in sweet spot percentage. He's up in chase rate percentage. I mean, everything that is important for an aging player, he's in the red, which is good on Baseball Savant. Not only that, it's a major improvement from the year before when he was hurt, and a major improvement from the year before that. In fact, some of these numbers are up there with some of the years that he had in Boston. So, he, from a standpoint of, is he cooked? He's not cooked. Even though he's an aging veteran, he's still got his metrics up to where they're at. I would be more concerned if those numbers were down compared to some of the results. It's process over results. You are seeing it with your eyes. He's not playing well and he looks bad. I'm not selling that he is better than what your eyes are saying in terms of like his outcomes trying to paint what he's doing is great. But what I am saying is behind the scenes, things are working out metric-wise where he is showing signs that he is going to turn things around. It's eventually. I think you saw a taste of that last night. But he could go out back and go 0-for-5 again today. I think a couple of things with Xander. The article from Kevin Acey about how the fact that he's trying to change his swing like mid at bats, can't have that anymore. He's not going to be successful doing that anyway. Being thinking about too much. They have tried almost everything. It's good to see some positive results. Hopefully, he gets some confidence now because I think most of those problems are mental over physical. It would be more of a concern if there are physical problems. They're mental. And I don't mind people being critical. But you can't generalize and say nobody said he was a pompous ass. I've seen it. I've heard people tell me that. He doesn't care. He's just collecting a check. I've seen it. I'm not making that up. Just because you individually haven't said that doesn't mean it hasn't been said. And the other thing, there's one thing to criticize production. There's another thing to unfairly criticize a player because you don't like his contract. The contract is what the contract is. That gets the roster together. And once the roster is together, you need guys to perform, and it doesn't necessarily need to be all of the guys making the top money that need to perform to a certain level. You have to disallow the contract. You cannot evaluate players based on their contract because there's going to be a lot of players playing above their contract and there's going to be a lot of players playing below their contract. If you want to see if players are playing above or below their contract, go look up on FanGraphs. They have a metric for it. There is only one player on the Padres that is currently playing at his contract level or better, and it's Gavin Sheets. Even Manny Machado is not playing to his expected, he's not playing to his contract. He's playing to about 20-something million dollars. But the way the market is compared to baseball production is two totally different things. So you can't evaluate players based on their contract. And there's a difference between being critical and just being angry for no reason. So, that is the latest on Xander Bogaerts. Jake Cronenworth, who has equally been the same level as Xander Bogaerts with less criticism, started to turn it around yesterday too. And really for this week. 3-for-4, the double and RBI last night. Bogaerts is 5-for-last-5 with 2 doubles and a home run. Overall, if you look back to that double that he had in the ninth inning to tie the game up for the Padres. Lots of good to talk about when it comes to Xander Bogaerts and Jake Cronenworth. They need to build off that, though, because the Padres, in order to get where they want to be, need to have these players playing at a high level and need to have these players kind of playing lower in the batting order. And the Padres will be a playoff team. Was last night what the doctor ordered? Could this series against the Dodgers, specifically the last inning of last night, have been what the Padres needed to wake up? We're going to get to your phone calls. We're going to answer that question as we continue the final hour of the Braden Soprenet Show on a Friday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97 through the Fan. Frank.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Frank's getting geared up for a big Frank weekend, huh? Huh?
Yeah, more or less, I would say.
What do we got this weekend?
I don't know. What do I got this weekend?
I don't know. It was not my week to watch your schedule for the weekend.
I really don't have a plan this
weekend. Going out to Petco Park at all?
I probably will at some point. Maybe tomorrow. Definitely not today, but probably tomorrow.
I'm going tomorrow. I think we should do some Man on the Street stuff tomorrow.
Definitely could.
After the game?
Definitely could. It's earlier game, too. Fox being in the
it's like a four
mix.
Something.
Yeah, it's 4:10.
I have tickets to the game. I was going to use my parents have seats and tickets. And they were like, no, you want to use it? My dad's got a high school reunion tomorrow.
There you go.
With the Grossmont Foothillers class of 85.
Okay. Good on him.
So him and his buddies are going to, it's going to be at the, we actually walked past it yesterday. It's like at the women's club or something like that at Mission Beach, which I didn't know was like a historical building down there, whatever. But they have, it's an event center now, so they're doing the class of 85 Grossmont reunion. So he goes like, do you want to use the tickets? And I said, sure, I'll use the tickets. Game's at 4. And he was like, can you give me a ride to the reunion? I'm like, what time's the reunion start? He's like, 4? I'm like,
no.
Then what about the tickets for? And he's like, well, if I'm giving you the tickets, you should give me a ride. And I was like, it starts at 4. He's like, sounds like perfect timing. I'm like, yeah, perfect timing for me to miss the first 4 innings of the game. I got to figure out a way to get him down there, him and my mom. But
Uber.
It's expensive Uber. He's like, good, you can pick us up. Except for the fact that the Padre game is going to be over way before your reunion is over.
You know what?
Probably.
I'm starting to think I shouldn't take these tickets.
Yeah, that's it. What's the catch? Hey, you want free tickets? Nobody's using them. Well, if nobody's using them, I'm going to use them. All right, cool. Can you give me a ride? 4 o'clock? I'm sorry? Game's at 4:15.
No. You get over there in 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, come on now.
There you go.
So, anyway, that's Saturday. I was thinking, I mean, we got to do some Man on the Street stuff soon. Handy said he might be down to help us out for Comic-Con.
Okay.
I do want to start implementing some Man on the Street stuff. It'd be nice to do one, like, record one. Not like once a week, because that's overzealous.
Yeah.
That's adding a lot to our plate. But airing them on Mondays after Padres home weekend series, especially after like Beer Fest on something on a Friday.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to do it in Petco Park. I'm sure the Padres wouldn't allow it anyway. I don't even want to. I understand. They don't like filming and stuff inside the facilities. I know the rules. But we could do it outside.
Mm-hmm.
We should ask the Dodger fans what the first names of a lot of their players are. There's a guy that pitched the other day that started. Was it Swain? What was his name? Sort of. I don't know because it's not my team.
Joe.
Now, what was the pitcher that got lit up? The guy that they threw 140 pitches of.
Oh, Sauer.
Yeah, Sauer.
Brett Sauer, I think it is.
My brother at that game asked every Dodgers fan in this section, "What's this guy's first name? Hey, what's this guy's first name? This guy pitching for you, this Sauer guy. What's his first name?" Not a single one of them knew what it was. Maybe we should do that. All-time, show pictures of all-time Dodgers and see how many Dodger fans get correct. Save that for August.
Oh, yeah. It's that guy.
That guy.
I know that guy.
Show a picture of Sean Green. So many Dodger fans know who that is.
He's that guy.
I wonder if they know Adrian Beltre played for the Dodgers. A lot of those. So we might have to do that coming up soon. 833-288-0970. I wanted to do it at the fair. Maybe we could do that at the fair next week.
Matt Sauer, by the way.
Matt Sauer, thank you.
I'm not a Dodger fan,
I don't know.
I was right with the two T's, but it was Matt, not Brett.
We will be shooting content at OTL. Since we're playing in it. Well, I'm playing in it. Frank, are you going to come?
Sure, I'll come.
I think you should.
Absolutely.
We'll have a tent out there. We got a couple of teams. I ordered the shirts. So we have Braden Suprenant Show OTL shirts. 4 over the line on July 12th. I got a couple of teams already going to rep. I got one team is going to rep the pink. My team's going to be a mix of the pink and the blue.
Okay.
And then my brother's teams are going to wear the blues. I think we got like 4 or 5 teams. I have more. If you're playing OTL and you want to rep the show, make sure your team name is somewhat clean. Somewhat, to an extent. Okay, if you're going to wear the shirt. I am not paying the $160 for you to play in said tournament, but I will give you shirts to wear. DM me. @B_SURP. @B_SURP. DM the B_SURP show. @B_SURP show. I will find a way to get you the shirts. Just send me the size. Want pink or blue? When I get them, we'll make it happen. I should be getting the shirts before the 4th of July. I'll be repping it on the 4th of July.
Do you think we have enough time to try to talk Boar's Head into catering for us?
It's not a bad idea. If you name your team Frank's Cold Cuts.
There it is.
I think we're okay. Definitely get the free shirts. Frank's Cold Cuts. Frank Marchese's Cold Cuts.
There you go.
My team name, I already had to fill it out. My brother's teams haven't come up with a name yet because they want to make it edgy, but also like...
Acceptable
to wear the shirts. Our team name, me and my friends, is Braden Suprenant's Wind Socks.
There you go.
You had to incorporate the Wind Socks. So if you hear that, see what court we're playing on. I don't know how good we're going to be. We hit the other day. Worked out pretty well. We'll see. I'm not trying to win the tournament. I'm not even trying to get to the next weekend. In fact, if my team does well enough to get to the next weekend, whoever we play to get to the next weekend, you might be able to take our spot. We don't know yet. So, again, reach out if you want some of those shirts. Let's get back to the phones, and then we're going to take a break. Drake Hills will join us to finish up the show. We'll talk more Padres baseball when we're done with Drake. Brad in Escondido, you're on the Braden Suprenant Show. What's going on, Brad?
Hey, Braden, longtime caller. Hey, I will say last night watching Xander brought up the Deep South and praise the Lord. My goodness, it was good to see him. I'll tell you, I'm not his biggest fan, but I thought the interview after the game was pretty telling of the character of the guy. That he said, I've never been through this, but I'm working through it, and I think I've found it. Because that was the missing piece about Xander was, what was his reaction to all this going on? Because you know the crowd's against him. And I hope that turned the crowd a little bit last night.
I hope so, too. I mean, that's why we've been talking about it on the show. He's working through it. He's trying to. Nobody is more bothered about not performing than Xander Bogaerts. And when the guy knows, you don't need to pile on. It's not going to change anything. If you're having a tough day at your work, if you're having a tough month, week, year, whatever it is, and I go there and just pile on and tell you how much you suck, are you going to be better? Probably not. As a coach, when I coach in high school football, if we have a major mistake and the kid knows he made a major mistake, me yelling at him saying he made a major mistake isn't going to do anything.
Like that poor kid from Arkansas, that poor left fielder.
Yeah, we should just yell he sucks at his face. Maybe it changes his attitude a little bit. Maybe he'll start playing better. Like, it's not going to work. We have no word on Fernando. We will not have a word on Fernando until at least 3:15. Everybody in the chat. That happens at least once every segment. But again, I don't like the... And here's the thing. I don't want to see a standing ovation for Xander either. Enough. Let's stop with the nonsense. Just let the guy play. Just let him play. He needs to work on his own stuff anyway. The last thing we need is him thinking in the middle of at-bats, which is what he's been doing. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We have a little bit of time here. Kind of not really. We got to get to Drake. But last night's game, we have seen it a lot of times. I think this was the spark the Padres needed in order to go on a little bit of a run. I think you saw it. Bailey in the chat brought up last year with the scuffle they had with the Nationals. I think that helped propel the Padres a little bit for a couple of weeks. I saw it so many different times. Those high-level emotional games where you find a way to win and you come together as a team is good. That helps propel teams in Major League Baseball. And really in all sports, it's the human side of a lot of these things. Sometimes you need that to be a spark. And I thought last night was that spark. Seeing Mike Schilt go defend Fernando Tatis Jr., seeing the fire out of a lot of the players, a lot of the fire that you hadn't seen in the Padres-Dodgers series the last couple of weeks. Well, you haven't seen out of the Padres in the last couple of weeks in general. I saw it with USD this year. USD won like a 17-inning game. And some crazy stuff happened. And they were like 6 and 20-something, whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. But they beat UCLA. And it propelled them the rest of the way. Momentum is a huge thing. Momentum is a huge thing. But in order to rely on the momentum, you got to carry that momentum into tonight, and you got to come out swinging tonight. Use yesterday into today. If you don't do that, you will lose it, and you'll have to go back to square one. But you have to build off this. And you're taking on a Royals team that's coming in a little hot right now after they went to Texas. So let's get going. And we'll see what the Padres do. Hopefully the Padres can tee off on the Royals, who haven't been playing that great of baseball, but have been playing better baseball as of late. We do not have an update on Tatis. I should just say that every 5 minutes. When we get an update, you will be the first to hear it. We don't have an update. Probably won't have an update until 3:15. I would imagine at the earliest. Sometimes news leaks a little bit before that. But the media can't even get into Petco Park until at least 2 o'clock. So Gwynn and Chris will probably have an update on Fernando Tatis Jr. and Bryce Johnson. Nobody's really asked about Bryce, but and Bryce Johnson. And a suspension potentially. They're not putting it out until somebody asks them. Nobody can ask them until at least the minimum 2 o'clock when they open the gates for the media. And then they allow the clubhouse at 3:15. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We will talk a little soccer with Drake Hills when we come back, as well as when we have time at the end of that preview, Padres Royals for the weekend. Frank Marchese, Braden Soprenet Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller. the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Frank Marchese, Brayden Soprenant, Brayden Soprenant Show, live and locally every single day from 10 to 2. No more random days off except for the 4th of July from now into the fall. We're locked in. You're going to hear me every single day. Yesterday, people were like, we had Juneteenth off. We're back at it today, ready to go, talking a lot of Padres baseball. But San Diego FC is still chugging along. And when I mean chugging along, I mean being near the top of the leaderboard in Major League Soccer. They've been able to put together some really important games, even though we're in the international season. San Diego FC continuing to play. You're seeing the FIFA Club World Cup going on right now. The Gold Cup's going on right now. And to give us all of the information that we need is our friend of the show who contributes such amount of information and fun to our show every Friday. It's part of our Soccer 101. It's Drake Hills, San Diego native, born and raised, works as a contributing writer for Black Players for Change. We got to dive into some soccer, but being a local San Diegan, Drake, what'd you think about the last night's game between the Padres and Dodgers?
Well, it never feels good to get swept, and so we avoided that, didn't we?
That's right.
Seeing the Padres, especially game 2 and 3, I saw, obviously, your games, you're getting ahead. You're ahead in the score. You're ahead against a pretty tough team. The Dodgers themselves having the woeful bullpen issues and still being able to edge out wins. So game 4, it's a long series. You avoid a sweep. But, wow, you get Tatis gets hit. Next thing you know, Ohtani gets hit. But how crazy is that? Have you ever seen that, Brayden, as your star player on your team gets hit by a pitch and not only leaves the baseline, but walks towards the opposing dugout to say, "Hey guys, it's okay. Let's relax. We're all here to play baseball. We're in the big leagues. Let's enjoy it." It was a new sight for me. So I always thought that was something I wouldn't see, but here we are. Dodgers and Padres, the rivalry, and with Ohtani in the middle, kind of being a mediator.
Yeah, I think both players handled the getting hit by a pitch very well. I mean, they both knew it was coming at certain points, and they were like, let's just not make this any worse than it needs to be. San Diego FC, Drake, 10-3-5 on the year as we transition back to soccer. They've had a pretty good first year of the season so far. When you talk about the way that they played against Minnesota over the week or last week, now getting ready for Vancouver, what did you see out of the 4-2 victory for San Diego FC last week?
Yeah, that reminded me of that game way back in March, Brayden, when San Diego FC went up to Salt Lake and went down early, similar to this Minnesota game, right? Chris McVay against Minnesota last weekend, own goal. Lo and behold, obviously we talked about Anders Dreyer last week. He brings you right back level just a few minutes later. But to see them press on after that, because, yes, we had Kevin Yeboah score for Minnesota late in the first half, but they kept pushing on. 2-1 wasn't good enough for them. They won in 3-1. They won 4-1. They ended up winning 4-2. To see Anders Dreyer really make that spark, and we talked about the Escondido natives, San Pasqual, Milan Ilaski, another 2 goals for him. The same guy who I think, for me, he really stood out in that last Dallas game a few weeks ago. So you're starting to see some of those guys that we talked about, Brayden, that are going to fill in for the Luca De La Torre, who's playing for the U.S. men's national team right now. The depth is starting to grow for this team. And I think, honestly, going into the rest of the summer, that's going to be really good, especially for a team who's going to go up against a really good Vancouver team at the middle of next week.
Drake Hills, contributing writer for Black Players for Chains on Change on the Brayden Suprenant Show. We got San Diego FC and Vancouver. You mentioned it. Those are the next game coming up for San Diego FC. It's coming up on Wednesday of next week. Battle for first place, really, in the Western Conference standings. What does Vancouver bring to the table that San Diego FC needs to worry about?
Well, first and foremost, I think they have some really top players. Obviously, some of those guys are going to be missing because they're playing for Canada, but also U.S. men's national team. But someone like Brian White, he's a New York Red Bulls, former New York Red Bulls guy who's come over to the Whitecaps. He scored. He's got a bag of goals with him, but they're going to be missing Jaden Nelson. You know, they've only lost two games as well, so you know they know how to manage games. These two teams, the only two teams in the conference that have 10 wins apiece, I think it's going to be an incredible preview of potentially what we may see in October, November, should San Diego FC really impress us with an actual postseason run. But I think that with this team, it's going to be Vancouver's offense against San Diego's defense. Chris McVay, Patty McNair, CJ Dos Santos, that communication is going to be key because someone like Brian White, who wants to run at you, wants to be getting behind, he wants to link up and connect with his teammates to play the ball behind the defense to try and catch you sleeping. So communication is going to be key for San Diego FC's defense. But it's going to be a great preview, and I think for San Diego FC fans, this is the game of the summer, for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about the FIFA Club World Cup for 2025. It's going on right now. Obviously, there's a handful of MLS clubs in there. We haven't really taken too much of a deep dive into this as part of our Soccer 101. We have talked about all of the different leagues you could potentially compete in at the same time. Obviously, with MLS teams competing in this right now, it could set up for a future for San Diego FC. So, explain for us how this Club World Cup works, and what are some of the fun parts about being a part of this, and something, how does San Diego FC be a part of this in the future?
Yeah, so the Club World Cup is essentially a centralized FIFA-governed tournament that brings together all of the best club teams that have been crowned champions of their continents, right? So we hear the buzzword. Every continent these days has a Champions League. Obviously, the most important one, we talked about it. I guess that must have been last week, Braden, when we talked about the UEFA Champions League, which UEFA oversees the European competition. Here in North America, we talked about CONCACAF. In South America, you have CONMEBOL. You also have the governing body of CAF that oversees Africa. And then you also have Oceania. You have Asia as well. So you have all of the best club teams that have been crowned the best teams on their continent playing against each other at this Club World Cup, plus the teams that have either won a domestic tournament, so whether that be a U.S. Open Cup or the FA Cup if you're in England. So obviously Crystal Palace is a team that if you're an American soccer fan, you know about Chris Richards and Matt Turner, who play for the U.S. men's national team. They just won the FA Cup. So that's an example of teams that can play for this tournament and essentially is bragging rights. And a rare opportunity for, let's say, a team from L.A. to play the best team from Africa, which would be Al Ahly from Cairo, Egypt. It doesn't happen a lot for some of the better teams. It's a very small, minute amount of teams when you think about professional soccer in the world. A lot of teams don't get a chance to play for this. However, I will say, Braden, the attendance, It's not gone well. And I think that's not just for the Club World Cup, but also for the Gold Cup as well. The U.S. men's national team, I know that you probably want to talk about that, but 11,700-plus fans against Saudi Arabia. Not good, especially for a stadium that can fit pretty much twice as that.
Drake Hills, contributing writer for Black Players for Change, joining us on the Brayden Suprenant Show. You mentioned the Gold Cup. Let's get to the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Obviously, you mentioned the attendance numbers, but San Diego, United States knocked down Saudi Arabia 1-0 the other night. They're now 2-0 in group stage play for the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Obviously, with them getting smoked by Switzerland in a friendly the other day, a lot of concerns about Team USA, but also, you know, you're trying to grow the game of soccer, and the level of attendance has been not very good as part of these matches and some of these that you would expect a lot of fans to be at. What's your overall, again, we've talked about it last week about Team USA, but as of right now and the way things are trending, what does this mean for Team USA?
Yeah, so the win, as you mentioned, I mean, it's still good that the U.S. men's national team has taken care of business when it comes to the scoreboard. Obviously, beating Trinidad and Tobago first, and then, of course, Saudi Arabia, they now have secured a spot in the quarterfinals in the Gold Cup. But now, nonetheless, you have – let's just talk about the dynamics, right? This is a team that you have your best players not playing. We mentioned the Club World Cup. Juventus has a couple, you know, Weston McKennie. Obviously, you have Tim Weah. Christian Pulisic is not at the Club World Cup, but he's decided to take the summer off to rest his body for another grueling club season at the international big FIFA World Cup next year here in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. You also have other guys who are playing at the Club World Cup or injured. So your best players are not playing. That's obviously going to take some fans away. The fact that, to your point, Braden, losing against, you know, pretty decent teams in Europe and you know, strong teams at that, but you're losing non-competitively, which is, regardless of where you are in terms of how much you know about soccer, sports fans, they want to see competition. They want to see 100% effort. And we're just not seeing that with this men's national team right now. But on top of that, the prices are pretty steep. Not just for the Gold Cup, but even more so, I would say, with the Club World Cup. But lastly, Braden, this isn't something that's going to change, I think, anytime soon. You had the first game in the soccer-specific stadium in San Jose, the second game in Austin at Q2, which is also another soccer-specific stadium. But then on Sunday, the U.S. plays Haiti at Jerry's World. And if you have two games with a combined 23,000-24,000 fans over two games, what makes you think you're going to be able to drive a significant crowd in a non-competitive group stage game against Haiti at Jerry's World, one of the largest sporting venues in the country? So I don't think that this is going to change anytime soon. It is quite the concern, not just for the U.S. in terms of its on-field journey, but I think when you think about the product of selling soccer ahead of the FIFA World Cup next year, this is not how they wanted it to go.
We appreciate the time as always, Drake. And again, we got so much going on in the soccer world. It's international time. We got the CONCACAF Gold Cup. We have the FIFA Club World Cup. Plus, San Diego FC is right there at the top of the leaderboard in the Western Conference standings in MLS. Kind of the last thing I wanted to get to, but you know, maybe we'll ask it to you next week, and I'll give you a little homework on this. You know, we talked about at the beginning of the season what. Let's get to the summer to really evaluate the first season of San Diego FC. I can't wait for that answer after you know, almost halfway through this MLS season. Drake, we'll talk about it next week, huh?
Yeah, definitely will. Well, looking forward to it, and we'll have to talk about that Vancouver-San Diego FC game and maybe a little bit of San Diego Wave, who is also third in the West, third in the NWSL, I should say, on the women's side. So they're doing pretty good themselves.
Soccer doing well in America's finest city. Drake, we always appreciate you contributing to the show. We'll look forward to talking next Friday.
All right. See you then.
Drake Hills joining us on the Brayden Soprenet Show, contributing writer for Black Players for Change, who joins us each and every Friday for our Soccer 101. Does a great job in explaining everything. I mean, a lot of this stuff, of course, some of us already know. I know Frank knows a lot about it. What do we got on the FIFA Club World Cup table there?
They're only a second game in, I think. They're going through the group stage right now. Let me see if I can pull some of these up. Inter Miami right now, as far as from
MLS.
Yeah, from MLS would be going PSG and Real Madrid, I believe both lost which was stunning. A couple days ago, either yesterday or 2 days ago, Benfica and Bayern Munich look like they're going to go through. LAFC right now is in a spot where they are not going to go through. It's still very, very early right now. Still in the group stages.
It's going to be fun to watch as they continue. We're going to talk more about that next week. We will also dive into the NASCAR story we haven't been able to talk about. And, of course, recap the Padres and the Royals. Talk to you guys all on Monday. For Frank Marchese, I'm Braden Suprenant, Braden Suprenant Show.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Braden Suprenant Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter/X, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. Thanks again for listening. I'll catch you guys next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.